feel lost without a handkerchief. So I'm glad I have one stored away in the Bible there. So I need your prayers as I stand before you tonight. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I want to read to you tonight from the book of 2 Timothy. I'd like to read the entirety of the first chapter in your hearing. And I do very much need your prayers. I appreciate the sweet prayer that's already been offered tonight. And recognize that we do have a God who knows what we need before we ask. And that we can just send our petitions up to Him with thanksgiving. Let our requests be made known unto God. And he's able to not only, he knows what we need before we ask. He's able to supply exceedingly abundant above all we ask or think. And I'm thankful for that. So as I stand before you tonight and I look to the Lord and ask Him to bless me, I know He's able to do that. And as you pray for me, I know He's able to answer your prayers. As I pray that you might be able to hear, He's able to do that. So we have a great God tonight to be able to trust in. And this is the moment that God has given us. I know the scripture says this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Sometimes we don't enjoy the moments and the time the Lord's given us because we're so worried or concerned about what has happened or worried or concerned about what will happen that we miss where we are. Tonight, it's really important for us to recognize where we are and what a blessing it is for us to be here. We're here gathered together with God's children in the house of God in the presence of the Lord, where two or three are gathered together in His name. He's promised to be in our midst, and we believe He is here because He has promised to be. I might make you a promise that I'm going to show up somewhere and fall short of that promise because even in my best efforts to keep promises, sometimes circumstances get in the way and I can't do what I want to get done. But you can count on this. Whatsoever God has said, whatsoever God promises, His promises are sure. And that's what that hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. That's what that's all about. That we have a God that we can count on to keep His promises. And that's good to know we have a promise-keeping God. A God who's made promises and who will keep each and every one of those promises. And it's not based on what we have done, but based on what He has done that we have that. As we read this first chapter, we find the writer in the first verse. We find who he's writing to in the second verse. And then we find what he's writing about in the next verses. And it's a wonderful thing to know we're reading from God's inspired Word. These are the words that have been penned down by Almighty God through inspiration. And even though the writer gives his name, we know he was moved by the Holy Spirit to pen it down. And it has been preserved for us right here tonight as a message given to us. Brother Barney mentioned that this weekend about someone sending you a text. Well, when you look at you want to see the most important text you can get is the ones we get right here. As we look into the Word of God, Brother Aaron mentioned in his prayer how we should be daily searching God's Word and daily looking into the Word of God. And when we do that, we'll find that our walk is closer to the Lord when we're in communication with His Word because we're reading what He's written to us, and His Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And His Word has been preserved and given to us by inspiration. And as Brother Jamie, I believe, preached the last time he was here, we can count on His Word to guide us and direct us in this world. And we have that before us tonight. He says in this first chapter of 2 Timothy, writings of the Apostle Paul unto the young preacher Timothy. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day. Now look at this language that the apostle speaks in regard to his affection and his thoughts about the young preacher Timothy. And I think about our relationship, what the Lord has given us. Here he had a remembrance of him in his prayers, and his prayers were night and day. And let me keep reading or I won't get to it. He says, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom is Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. In how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. A beautiful, beautiful beginning to this letter in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul wrote to them as an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, apostle is one who was sent directly by the Lord, whom the Lord sent himself directly. Sometimes we hear men today considering themselves and calling themselves apostles. I think I've shared with the church before how in the early history of, I believe it was the Catoctin Association, there was a time when some of the ministers felt that we were in need of the gift of an apostle again in order to bring some order and fellowship in the churches, and that they would be of one accord and of one mind and see how well they were doing. And so some of the brethren got the idea that they would ordain in one of the associations that they would set some man up and that that brother would be an apostle. Well, he went through that year, I think, with his mind thinking that was of the Lord. But by the time they came back the next year, he told them this wasn't correct. That what he was doing and what he had been trying to do, he certainly didn't feel the Lord in, but it wasn't correct. And it wasn't. Those who think they're apostles today are misguided. They may be well-intentioned. They may have proper zeal. But there are no apostles today. The days of the apostles are past. The apostles were here at the early time of the church when the Lord was closing, had closed out on the law and the church age had begun. The Lord called his apostles out. And the things that we believe and teach tonight were first taught unto us by the Lord himself. It was given then unto the apostles. And then the apostles were moved by the Spirit of God. And they wrote most of those things we have written in the Bible are written given unto us by the apostles. And those early gifts and signs in the church that the apostles had, the gifts of tongues and the gifts of healings and the other various gifts that they had, were given for the purpose of confirming the Bible that was being written. Once the entirety of God's Word had been written and all those things had been laid down and those things were in place, then the days and the times and the need for the apostles was gone, and there is no gift today apostolically that we have the apostles. Now, how can we be sure then that we're standing on the teachings of the apostles? Well, right here, we have God's Word. This is the Bible that we have today that we go to as our instruction book. The Apostle Paul wrote as an apostle, which gives the authority for what he wrote. Somebody say, well, I believe in Christ. I don't really believe in Paul. Well, Paul was an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ gave that authority to Paul as an apostle to write these things down and pin them down. And God moved him by inspiration of God to do it. And we can count on what the Apostle Paul wrote because he was an apostle, not of himself, not self-made, not self-declared, but by the will of God, he was an apostle. And he wasn't just an apostle of anything. He was an apostle of Jesus Christ. He writes here and says, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. Paul's not bragging. He's simply telling by what authority he's writing the things that he's writing. And any good tonight that is when we read the Bible, we're not reading just what men wrote. There's a lot of people that don't have confidence in the Bible because they said it's just a bunch of old men that wrote it a long time ago. And yes, men were moved to write it, but they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And therefore what they wrote, as we read it and study it, and if you look at it every day, you'll find it real quickly. This book isn't like any other book. Other books have contradictions. Other books do not move us. Other books do not teach us. There is no word like His Word. Just like Jesus, it was said about Him, no man spake like this man. I'm telling you, this book speaks to us like no other book in the world. Now, those who think, well, God's still writing to us, so they're going about writing, even as a, and if there were apostles, then it could be possible that God would give us new revelation and new light because those things were given unto the apostles. And then there were signs that followed, signs of tongues and the gifts of tongues and healing and all of those signs that many people are confused about today. And somebody might say, why don't you all have those things? They were in the days of the apostles. Why were they there? To confirm the Bible. Why don't we have them today? Because the Bible has been confirmed. Isn't that good? We got the Bible today before us. So tonight, we're not standing. What are we standing on? Do we have the gifts of the apostles? Absolutely. We can read about them in Acts. Just run through the book of Acts and you'll see those gifts that were given that confirmed the things the Apostle Paul were teaching. And Paul here preached as an apostle. And he did it by the will of God. Isn't that wonderful to know that Paul didn't call himself? By the way, if you love the Lord tonight, it's not because you called yourself. If you have a desire to serve Him tonight, it's not because you decided on your own to do that. We know from the Bible and the quote from the Bible and the writings of the Apostle Paul, again, the Apostle Paul, he said, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them for their foolishness unto him. And they must be spiritually discerned. I didn't quote that just right, but it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. And that's where you and I would be tonight. We read the Bible, it would be a closed book to us. We may look at it, we may find it interesting, we may marvel at the language and those kinds of things, but it wouldn't mean anything to us. Tonight, I believe the Bible means something to you. I believe the Word of God means something to you. Why would it mean something to you? Because God has given you a heart and a knowledge to be able to understand that. God has worked in you a work that you could not do yourself. There's a spiritual life that's in you, and that spiritual man needs feeding. He needs the Word of God. There's an emptiness that needs to be filled. There's a void that needs to be given. And as God's little children, if we neglect the house of God and the preaching of God's Word, and even as we set unto the preaching, if the ground that's receiving the Word is not properly prepared of the Lord and given to us, those things don't reach us and we don't learn and it doesn't bring forth fruit. You know, isn't it wonderful when you can come to church and really get something? And then when you get something, you get into the week and you find out why you got it, and the Lord has fed you. Have you ever been fed on Sunday for something you needed on Wednesday or Thursday or something down the road? Isn't it a wonderful thing when God moves in that way? Well, how does that happen? First of all, God put it in the book, and then God moved the apostle to write it, and then God moved the preacher that he calls. Which that preacher didn't take it upon himself. He didn't. He's a preacher because of the will of God. God called him to do it. He didn't say, well, I think it's a good thing to do. And then God moved him to a particular passage for that which you needed that he knew about that you didn't even know about. That's why it's not good for us to say, okay, congregation, as a minister, what do you want me to hear today? Listen, I'm not even to ask myself, what am I wanting to preach? What I want to do is let... And remember the verse in Psalms 19 that we talked about last week? Let the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Tonight we'll have a wonderful time at church. If the Lord manifests His presence in the preaching... If He manifests His presence in the singing, isn't it wonderful when the songs just fit you? Or when you're riding down the road and God, through the radio, just do you think it's just happenstance when you hear some message that comes through the airways that just fits your need just seemingly exactly? Somebody was moved to write those things by the will of God. They pinned them down, and it may have been especially, you know, just like one of the brethren, Brother Terry was telling me earlier about the good preaching over at Cedar Creek, and he said he felt like it was just for him, and he said other people got it, but he felt like that message was just for him. Isn't it wonderful when you get to church and you feel like the message is just for you? And you read a verse and you feel like God put that one in the book just for you. And then you start seeing that the wonderful providential care of God for His children. Listen, God is so big He can take care of all of His children at the same time. He can whip one over here and correct one over here and encourage one over here and heal one over here with the same message. God can do that. Isn't that wonderful? And God doesn't have to wait on the preacher to do it, but He does use preachers to help and even help, in a sense, save us. Not save us eternally, but save us in time from thoughts that can hurt us and harm us and depress us and discourage us, and we can be delivered. We know that we're saved eternally through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And through that same finished work, the Lord blesses us to be a help to one another many times by helping correct or teach or instruct God's children. And the Apostle Paul was doing that for young Timothy. And he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. And he says, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. And that according to means that's what Paul was all about. That's what his life was about. For to me to live is Christ, the Apostle Paul wrote in the Philippian letter. For to me to live is Christ. In other words, what his life was about was, I want to share the promise of God. I want to share His promises. I want to tell God's children about His promises. Paul wasn't making promises for God. Paul wasn't making a deal with the people in order to get them to get something from God. Paul declared unto God's little children the mighty, wonderful promises of God. He told them about what God had done for them and what God had done, what He is doing, and what He will yet do for us as His children. That is what the Apostle Paul wrote about. That is what he preached. That is what he taught. The promise, and that promise is of life. In other words, we have life in Him, and by the way, that life in Him is eternal life. Isn't it good tonight to know that the life that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ is eternal life, and that we have it here in this world, but once we die, that doesn't mean everything is over. And even if this world is tough and we have it just for a little while, once this old vapor passes, and once this old time passes, we're going to soon be with the Lord. And we'll what a day that will be, how wonderful it'll be when we all get to heaven. Oh, may heaven be real to us tonight. You know, sometimes we live, talk about it, act like we believe in it, but then live like this world is all we have. Listen, we have many promises and blessings in this life, but we have a promise that goes beyond this life. And if we had only hope in Christ in this life only, we would be of all men most miserable. We have a promise that once this life is over, because of what Jesus did for us as His children, because He paid the price, we have grace given to us and mercy and therefore peace about what's going to happen when we leave this world. Number one, grace gives us that which we didn't deserve. Mercy keeps us from getting what we do deserve. And peace comes as a result of both grace and His mercy. And we have all of that in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul was about sharing that with God's children over and over again and stirring them up to remember it. Tonight, all I want to do is stir you up. Brother Jamie, I think, shared with us about stirring the paint can. And I thought about that all week, in a sense. That's what preachers ought to be doing as much as they can, is stirring up God's children. And how do you stir up God's children? You tell them about the wonderful promises of God. Standing on the promises. Standing on Jesus Christ and the wonderful promises of God. He says, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. And by the way, the life is not only eternal life in heaven, but it's also enjoying that life here in this world. Listen, we sang it tonight, what a friend we have in Jesus. We have a friend that we can go to. As I come into the pulpit, I can pray and ask the Lord, Lord, please bless me to be able to preach. As you're sitting there on the bench, you say, Lord, please give me those things I stand in need of. And then as you go out the door, Lord, let me put on what I've heard tonight. Let me live it. Let me walk it. Let me talk it. Let me carry it into my life. Let me let my light so shine before men that others might see my good works and that they would glorify my Father which is in heaven. And he says to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, I believe he loved Timothy. And Timothy wasn't his son, naturally speaking. Paul wasn't even married, from what I understand in the Scripture. He didn't have a son biologically, but I'll tell you what, he had a son in the faith. He had a son in the gospel. He had one, not that he made him a child of God through any preaching or anything. We know there's only one Father spiritually that we're to give that kind of glory and praise to. We're to call no man Father, no man reverend, no give no man praise, but the one who's holy and reverent is His name. And we have only one eternal Father, but we have ministers that have been a blessing to us, don't we? And we think about them as those that have taught to us the gospel, and they stand before us and they teach the gospel. And as I look as a minister, I have had faithful, dear old brethren that helped me along the way as I was laboring and trying to teach the Lord's people. They were watching over me like a father watches over a child. And sometimes those old brethren would pull you off to the side and say, Brother Gary, I know you meant well, but you said it this way, and God's little children can get confused. And therefore, you ought to try to say it in a better way. And it was a great benefit and a blessing to me to have those fathers, and in some cases, mothers in Israel. You know, it wasn't just the brothers who did that. Some cases, it's been those little sisters that pulled you off and said, Brother, I got confused about what you were saying about that because it sounded like you were saying this. And they did it in such a loving way. In many cases, it would be just what I said that need to be corrected. Let me say this tonight. Whether it's me or any other minister in this area or a minister from afar or an angel from heaven would say anything than that which we believe, then they should be admonished. If they continue to go at that, we should be not only admonished, after two or three admonitions, the Bible says we're to mark them as a heretic and we're to have no fellowship with them. It is important that we guard what is given out from the pulpits of our churches and what we would say to God's little children. That's important. I'm not to come to you tonight with anything other than the truth. And if I'm saying it incorrectly, which we all do, listen, there's not a minister that I've ever heard that always got anything just right. I've heard a few who thought they did, and sometimes we get to thinking that we do. I'll tell you, when that's the case, pride has gotten in the way, and we're soon due for a fall. Y'all understand what I'm saying here. We're to guard what is to be taught. That is why we can't just fellowship anyone or anything. We must fellowship those of like precious faith, because it's important that the truth is declared. The apostles didn't just fellowship anything. They held to that faith once delivered unto the saints, and they earnestly contended for it. And that was the faith of salvation by grace through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that work was a finished work, and salvation was complete and accomplished what Jesus did. And there's nothing you can add to it or anything you can take from it. And if we add to it or take from it, that is not to be held to. We've added works. And a little works to grace does what? It makes it all works. It's either grace or it's works. And if it's by grace, it's no longer of works. And if it's by works, it's no longer of grace. And I'm thankful. Now, there is a proper application of works where grace brings about the work. There's a work we're to do, and we do it by the grace of God. But our eternal salvation is based on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that alone. Okay. He says to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, there's a relationship. There's a relationship. I got a relationship with you tonight. I love you. I wish I could say it better. I don't want to say it. I want you to know I love you. I love you, brethren. If there's something I can, I wouldn't want to do anything to hurt one of you. When you're hurting, I hurt. And I believe when I hurt, you hurt. And when we're happy, when you're happy, I'm happy. When you're going through problems, I'm going through problems. By the grace of God, I have had a family and a family relationship in the church that is closer than the ties of nature to me. And I thank God for that special fellowship we have as brothers and sisters in Christ. And I always want to remember that whenever I get into the pulpit, that I'm not driving cattle. I'm feeding lambs and feeding sheep. And I want to treat God's children gently. You're not throwing corn at chickens. You're feeding little lambs. You're feeding sheep. And if you come at a sheep in a way that, as you would some other animal, you will scatter the flock. And we do not wish to scatter the flock. I want to approach you as my dearly beloved brothers, my dearly beloved sisters. I consider you not so much as a father, son, but as a brother and a sister in Christ. And I just thank the Lord for our fellowship in the Lord. But I want you to know that it's a dearly beloved relationship that I feel in my heart. He said to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, he said, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Now notice this. He couldn't give them grace. He couldn't give them mercy and peace, but he knew where it came from. Grace, mercy, and peace comes from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Aren't you so thankful tonight that God has shown unto you grace? And I want you to just to think for a moment. How many things has the Lord given to you tonight that came not because you deserved them, but in spite of what you deserved? You have riches that have come from God that came to you because that came from God because of Christ and His death on the cross and what He did for you. And that's part of the promises. Listen, every one of us that belong to Him, I have a home promise to us that we will never. We have a what is it that what is it? The thought is just leaving me. Maybe it'll come. If it doesn't, that'll be all right. We have a reservation. That's what it is. You have reservations in this world. Sometimes you get there, and if you don't have the right number, they may have dropped a reservation, and you say, "Well, I can't find your name here." Listen, you and I have a place reserved for us in heaven through the shed blood and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Listen, that's a reservation that's secure tonight. You don't have to have a number to say, okay, here's my number that proves I've got it. It's been done and finished, and nothing can be added to that work nor taken from it. God doeth it that men should fear before Him. When God's little children getting down, we ought to tell them, look, you got a reservation in heaven one day. One day, no matter what you're feeling now, it's going to be all right over there. Not only that, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And in my Father's house are many mansions. I don't believe he's talking about a place in heaven that we have a little mansion set along a street where we're living. I believe we're talking about all that Jesus prepared for us on the cross, not only heaven and immortal glory, but every time we get to have fellowship with him right here in this world. Listen, right in this meeting house tonight, we can be lifted up. Haven't you been lifted up before? I hope you're lifted up now, but if you're not, you can think about times in the past you've been lifted up. And I hope before the end of the meeting, God may lift us all up. But we sit together, don't we? In heavenly places in Christ. You ever had the church bench where you feel like I'm not in the world anymore? I've forgotten about my troubles. I've forgotten about my cares. I feel like the Lord is just set right down. I love to feel Him in the pulpit, but I love to see God's little children feel Him at the seat where He's like a father has reached down and cuddled His child. It's like He's picked up His little lamb and His little sheep and He's put Him up on His shoulder and He said, I'm going to take care of you and I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm right there with you. And you feel the touch of His hand. Listen, when you feel that, you've been lifted up to heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And that comes by the almighty power of God. If you've ever felt that, let me tell you, little brother, little sister, you belong to Him, and one day you'll be with Him in glory. And until that time, He'll be with you every step of your life, every walk, everything that you've done. And even though you feel like I've done so much, can you imagine for a moment how the disciples felt after the crucifixion when they had turned from Him, when they said, I'll never leave you. And Peter had denied Him. And how they must have felt after His resurrection. What's it going to be like to see Him now after I've done all of this? Is He going to have anything to do with me? Will He be still that friend that was with me before the crucifixion? Will He still love me? I've denied Him. I've gone the other way. Is He going to cast me away? And if He did, what could any of them say but I got what I deserved? And tonight, if He would cast me away, I'd just have to say I got what I deserved. If He would cast you away, you'd have to say I got what I deserve. But I'll tell you what, He said, I'll never cast you away. I'll always be with you. And He didn't them. Remember, He came to Peter. And in love, He said, Peter, do you love me? He said, oh, Peter, do you love me? Oh, Peter, do you love me? Peter answered Him three times. And God caused a man who had denied Him three times to answer Him three times. And you know why Peter loved Him? It's because the Lord first loved Peter. And the Lord doesn't change. If He's ever loved you, He'll always love you. Aren't you glad that the gospel we believe, the truth the Bible teaches, doesn't talk about a God who loves you one day and then casts you into eternal woe? That's what the world teaches, that He loves everybody, but then many of them that He loves are not going to make it and are going to be turned into a devil's hell because they didn't do their part. And Jesus did all He could do, but He couldn't save them. That's a God without power and a God with a fickle love. I'm telling you, God's love's not like that. Whom He loved, He'll always love. And He came to save them. Every one of them. And you know which one of them He'll lose? Not one of them. And if you can feel Him on the bench right now, that's a wonderful evidence that you belong to Him. I can't make that happen. Oh, I might be able to say some words that make you kind of feel good about yourself and get you all puffed up. And it's like I've said before, it's like cotton candy. It doesn't last very long. You bite into it thinking you got something and just, whew, it's gone. Oh, this is the meat and the milk of God's Word that sustains God's little children. That's what the Apostle Paul wanted to give to Timothy and wanted to encourage Timothy to give to that congregation because they needed to hear about the promises of God that are sure and steadfast and to hear, great is His faithfulness. Great is His faithfulness. He says to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, great grace, mercy, and peace. You know, some people look at that and read it, and sometimes we can. You know, you'll read that salutation throughout the Scripture, won't you? Those of you reading the Bible know that when you get to Paul's letter, he always says that. He comes in and he says, grace, mercy, and peace. He's not saying hello. Just like when he said farewell, we talked about that last week. He wasn't just saying goodbye. Here he's not just saying hello. He's saying something that's so vitally important for us to recognize. He's filled our lives with grace. And his mercy keeps us from what we would deserve had we be just left to ourselves. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not one of us that's good. No, not one. There's not one of us who could redeem ourselves. We couldn't redeem our children. We couldn't help anyone. What a mess we would all be in were it not for God's mercy. And when you get to that place, you think, well, Lord, I've said so many things to you. I know you won't listen to me anymore because I've messed up. And here I said, I'm not going to mess up anymore. You ever kind of make a deal with God and say, God, I won't mess up anymore if you just do this. And you get to that place, even when he pours out his grace on you. And then what do? Well, I mess up again. I just mess up. Listen, he, just like the disciples, he's not pleased. I'm not condoning messing up. I'm not saying it's okay. We should not continue in sin that grace may abound. But I'm telling you, grace covers all our sins. And His mercy is there for us. His mercy is everlasting. Aren't you glad we have a God who's rich in mercy? And a love that's... Listen, He forgives us. And that's how you and I can forgive one another. Enough so it's washed away, not to be remembered anymore. Somebody said, how could that person put up with that person after they've done this? And how could they ever get along? How could they ever have fellowship? I'm telling you, God heals our lives. He's a healer of broken hearts, isn't He? I'll tell you, He's healed mine in so many ways. And yes, I'm still a mess, but He's not finished yet. He's still working on us. We're a work in progress. And one day we'll be finished. One day when that time comes, He'll carry us out of the world, this world, to be with Him in glory. My goodness. He says, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus and the Lord Christ, and Christ Jesus our Lord. And He says, I thank God. And he's thanking God for all that the Lord had done for him. And he lays out all those things. Listen, the faith that little Sister Eunice had, the faith that the grandmother Lois had, the faith that was in Timothy, all of that came from the Lord. And tonight, if you and I have faith, and I see your faith, you know how I see your faith? You're sitting on the bench. You're praying. I can't see your faith in the sense that I can't see that. I can see the works that come from faith. I can see little brothers and sisters coming together in their homes and praying and asking God for what they need and believing God's able to supply it. I can see them. I can see them when they're thanking God for what He's already done. I can see them when they want to come to church and give praise and honor and glory to the Lord and they want to hear from His Word. I can see the evidence of God doing something in them that they couldn't have done themselves. And listen, all of my efforts to try to convince you of this truth would fall on it would be like water off a duck's back if the Lord had not given you that gift of faith which allows you to be able to embrace those things that you could not otherwise see. And so ultimately, where does all the praise and the honor and the glory belong? It belongs to the Lord. Let's do that as much as we can. Not only tonight, just remember it. How good He's been to us. I didn't get nearly to this. He's basically telling, and I want you to remember, and I don't want to get into it too much because we could be here a while, but I want you to remember that the Apostle Paul, as he wrote this, he wasn't on a vacation or on a picnic. He was in prison in Rome, attached to a soldier by a chain. When you read about that chain he talked about, ashamed of my bonds, ashamed of my chain, there was a literal chain on his wrist attached to a Roman soldier because of his preaching the gospel. He was suffering the afflictions that came from that. And there were some brethren that had turned away from him because they said, well, Paul's messing up. Look, he even got himself in trouble. And they had turned, his friends had turned from him. And Onesiphorus was one that had not, but had sought him out. Wouldn't that make him special? Oh, it would. Brethren, you're special tonight to me. You're my friends. When I'm in trouble, I need friends like Daniel had friends. When Daniel needed something, he went to his friends and said, pray that God would give me some insight. And when we get in trouble, we can come to one another and say, pray for me. We know we can't help one another, but we can pray for one another, and the God of heaven can help us. I'm not near done, but we're going to stop. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.
bless you. I appreciate your friendship and your fellowship.